Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, Four City. Week 3 in the NFL. Let's go.
For their purchase. We surely appreciate it. But you about to witness is my thoughts.
Just my thoughts, man.
Right or wrong, just what I was feeling at the time. You ever felt like this? Vibe with me.
Okay. Man, y'all already know what it is. The calling number is 929-477-2759. Welcome back to the kitchen here on the Sunday morning brunch. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chefs. That's right. We got a lot of stuff to jump into. An interesting night of sports on a Saturday. The week that was in sports as much as possible. Everybody that knows me, it gets personal in the building. I'm a little happy, a little excited about what went down yesterday. That's just because of my allegiance. Well, I'll get into that as soon as possible, man. But there's a lot of stuff to get into, from MMA to NBA closeouts. I'm a little unfortunate, mad. Well, not to say mad, but, you know, I didn't want to see it go down this way. So we'll see how the Golden State does their thing. It's like Cali is always partying. Or some odd reason in the NBA just loves the state of California, man. So without any further ado, calling in from the state of California, people. We have Norm in the building. Norm, welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
Doing good. Yourself, my friend?
Doing all right, man. I'm happy. I'm not gonna lie. I'm a little ecstatic on what happened yesterday. But we'll get into a lot of stuff. I know you being out there in Cali, like I said earlier, well, just a little while ago, they're partying like crazy in California when it comes to sports. Almost every year, whether it's Golden State or the team I'll just jump into first, with the Los Angeles Lakers. And the Lakers took care of business in getting rid of Denver 4-1 in their series. And it just really looked like LeBron and Anthony Davis were too much once they figured out, you know, kind of letting Jamal Murray and Jokic do as much as they could and freeze a lot of the rest of the team up. And it was, you know, start to finish the past two games, the Lakers have basically been in control. Your thoughts on the Lakers trying to get another title in Hollywood?
I like their chances, man. I think the only team that could have gave them a run for their money would have been the Clippers, and it was unfortunate that they bowed out in the way they did. but, yeah, I think Anthony Davis is by far the best player in the NBA right now, and obviously we can debate that back and forth. When you got a big man as versatile as he is that can hit the three, he's a real tough matchup. And then obviously LeBron James on the back end of his career is still very, very good. You know, when LeBron starts to when you try to pair up a guy that he can back into the paint, I love it when LeBron – runs point but backs people down, almost like Magic Johnson back in the day. When he does that and it opens up everything, no one's going to stop him, man.
I don't like it that you're talking like this. It's making me angry. No, but I got to take it, man. And it just, you know, and I feel bad because this is the year of 2020 and we lost a legend. I don't even know how many accolades I could put to him, even though me and him – you know, like just me personally, it's not like I knew him like that, but just had beef with the aura of Kobe, and we lost him. And just for competitive natures, I didn't like him, but once he passed, it's like I turned into a Kobe fan, and it's like not only is that the story for the Lakers to kind of build off of, you got a guy in MMA and Kobe Covington just throwing crazy statements out there and giving LeBron firepower. It's like now you're giving him some motivation to go out there and play ball, let alone Kobe is on his back, and the state of California felt a certain way when he got there. Now he's there and getting into a finals. It's like all of this is coming to him like a blessing. So I don't want to put too much anger into it because I did like LeBron before he played the Thunder. And then it was like, you know, when the Thunder and the Heat went at it, not like I didn't like LeBron, but he was the enemy, you know. And watching teams go up against my teams, it just was unfortunate. But knowing what the Lakers have in front of them and seeing how they break every huddle. They break the huddle in the locker room. They say Mamba. They're driven for Kobe this year. The black jersey that they wear is for Kobe. So it's like the only team I could see slowing them down, honestly, I want to be honest too, is the Celtics. And it's bad that it's like it have to be the Boston-LA series once again. Like, this is historically what the NBA is built off of, is the Boston-LA thing. So the Heat can close this out. It would be interesting if the Heat would go at LeBron, because Spoelstra knows a good amount of LeBron and giving LeBron his first two championships. But I don't know if the Heat have enough firepower nor the body to defend Anthony Davis or LeBron James. So it'd be pretty much interesting to see if the Celtics could win the next two games or if the Heat can close this thing out as soon as possible.
Yeah, I like I like to see Miami Heat get in there just because I just, even though it'd be epic to see another Boston to L.A., I just think the Lakers are going to win this championship. They're set up for it. And so I'd rather see the Heat and Jimmy Butler in there just to mix things up.
The war path that Jimmy Butler is on, I got it. One, I got to tip my hat. Two, if he gets there, it's like what a heck of a story that he was passed from the Bulls to Philly to Minnesota, and then got from Minnesota, and him and Cat and them got into a little beef, and now he's down in Minnesota, and as soon, I mean, down in Miami, and as soon as he gets to Miami, he gets to a doggone, well, at least the Eastern Conference final. I don't want to just push the envelope, like he could potentially get to the finals, but like to have that little turbulence in the past, what, 3 or 4 years, and finally find a team, this is like a repeat of last season with Kawhi Leonard and the beef that he had with the San Antonio Spurs organization, not Popovich. Like, I like the story that Kawhi did, because Kawhi is like a humble guy, but he just did not like the organization, but him and Pop are great friends. So, like, but knowing that he just left San Antonio and went to Toronto and won a championship, it's like if Jimmy Butler could pull that off, that would be insane. But I don't know. Boston has a lot to say about it, and I know the league would love to benefit off of a Boston-LA series, too. So that's, like, heavy in this near future. But we'll see what goes on in this game tonight. I want to ask you, who do you think wins this game tonight, Miami or Boston? Does Boston push a game seven?
I like Miami to close it out. I think they got more star power. I think they're going to close it out.
Wow, Tyler Hero being the hero, or Jimmy Butler and Tyler Hero, man, I don't know, man. They trying to throw the Magic Johnson rookie run, and that's what he's up to. He's putting up some awesome numbers in the wake of trying to get to a final. So that'd be crazy if he continues to put himself in this conversation. That's epic. But you got Miami. I don't know, man. I would want to see Miami close it out. I'm with you. I'm going to go with Miami to close this thing out. But Boston is something with them. Their backs against the wall. They're playing, game seven every game. And this is the potential that they have to deal with, So let me get away from that, because I know I get stuck on this basketball stuff all day long. All right, so I'm going to do something quickly. I don't know if you caught it, but at least the two main events in the UFC, the first fight was Jan Blachowicz taking care of Dominic Reyes in a technical knockout in the second round while the belt was vacant because John Jones gave it up. Jan now becomes the champ in the light heavyweight division, and he was calling out John Jones, told him, don't retire, come back and fight him. This is how Poland does. I definitely like the call out. This guy's a knockout artist, and I respect him because he's a good fighter and he's humble. Like he's one of those people that you just grow to love because he's cool. You know what I'm saying? He's not cocky. He come out there to do a job and finish the deal. And I think more or less that everybody's thinking that Reyes broke his nose is what, people stood off of. I don't know if you caught that fight. Your thoughts on Jan Blachowicz winning the light heavyweight championship in UFC?
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to watch those fights. I did go back and look at just the highlights from it. I expected Reyes to come out and win that fight just because of how well he fought John Jones. I thought he's poised to take it over. So, and not, you know, when you have those main events like that, it's not a major upset because both fighters are very good, but it did surprise me. I thought Reyes was going to win. So I'd like to go back and watch that in about a month to actually kind of see how the momentum of the rounds went. But must have been a great fight. But, yeah, a little surprising for me because I had Reyes picked on that one.
And John Jones came out afterward and basically gave an emoji face to Jan Błachowicz, but he told Reyes to keep quiet, like because Reyes kept calling him out, and then he lost his fight. So I'm wondering if John Jones comes back and fights in the light heavyweight. He said that he wanted to fight heavyweight so he could go after Stipe. That would be an interesting fight because I think his fighting style, as long as he stays away from Stipe, I think he could win. But if Stipe were to grab him, it'd be interesting. But I don't know. John Jones is playing around whether light heavyweight or heavyweight, and he's the name that a lot of the people in that weight class want to fight. Now, you're talking about being stunned, right? Now, I'm not going to lie. When this guy came on the scene, I turned into an Israel Adesanya man, right? When he fought Silva, being Spider or Anderson Silva, however you want to talk about it, I thought Anderson was going to take care of business. He beat him. And Israel was undefeated. So then this fight builds up, you know, with him and Paulo Costa. And Paulo took care of Romero. And I'm like, the way that Paulo took care of Romero, he's a warrior and he's built like a bodybuilder. So it's like, if he were to get to Israel, I thought it would be a problem. Israel was a good favorite. I don't want to say a heavy favorite, but he was a good favorite to win the fight. But I was still like, they're both undefeated. Costa has, you know, less experience in the octagon, but I just felt like if he got close enough and were able to grab Adesanya, I thought that he could take care of business. I was stunned that not only did Israel win the fight, he got a TKO, but the way that he did it, it was like, you know, how men work. You got to chop the tree down, right? So all first round, he was throwing heavy kicks to his lead leg, and his lead leg basically was shot by the time they got to the second round. He ends up landing a good punch and dropping Paulo, but Paulo was trying to recover but couldn't, you know, deal with the onslaught that was coming. He more or less was protecting himself, and he was throwing Israel was throwing hammer fists and coming at him, and then the ref ended up stopping the fight with a TKO in the second round. I am an Israel fan by far. I thought Costa could win this fight. He couldn't. I am totally tipping my hat to Israel. And he's calling out whoever wants to come for him, and he's undefeated. So if two unbeaten going at it, that just builds the aura up in a main event fight, just like you said with these main event fights, and it's not really an upset. But I was stunned that the way that he took Costa out, like he really fought him. It wasn't like he was running around the ring and trying to stay away from him, like they tussled, and he took care of business. And with people trying to call him skinny and things like that, I salute you for taking care of business. But your thoughts on the Adesanya stoppage of Costa?
Yeah, I had that one picked correctly. I had Israel winning that fight, although I really like Costa. And, you know, anytime a new guy comes on the scene that's got good size like Costa and is knocking people out, instantly becomes one of my favorites. We all like to see a knockout, right? And so when you really look at Costa's record, though, he hasn't really fought anyone in the top tiers. I mean, that's arguable. You can argue that right there on the competition he's faced. But he's still a great fighter. But I looked at it like this. You know, Israel just fought Romero, about 6 months ago. And it was the worst fight I ever seen. It was real boring. You could tell, you know, both guys respected each other. No one wanted to get knocked out. Well, I look at Romero and Costa as very similar fighters in style. I looked at it as in, you know, Costa's going to look at that Romero fight and say, I'm not going to let Israel dance around me. I'm going to get to him. Because, yeah, once Costa gets a hold of him, I feel like he had the strength to really, you know, have his way with Israel. And likewise, Israel probably looked at that Romero fight and says, you know what? Similar fighters, I'm going to make sure I do this instead. So Israel made the right adjustments. He kept Costa away from him. And I'm sure Costa, I didn't see the fight, but I'm sure what I envisioned was he was going to kind of put himself out there and try to get a hold of him. When you do that, you expose yourself. So more than likely, again, I haven't seen the fight. I think that's probably what happened. Israel was ready. He kept catching Costa off guard and eventually took him down. So, but again, so I actually wanted Costa to win. I'm a Costa fan, but I actually had picked Israel to win that fight. I hope they rematch. It's a little experience there, and I'd like to see a rematch on that one.
I'm going to tell you this. Costa didn't try to, like, engage in, like, a grapple or trying to grab him, but they were, you know, toe-to-toe, like, exchanging blows. But Israel threw a ton of leg kicks at his lead leg, which was his left leg. By the time the start of the second round came, it was bruised, red, badly. You know how they just, you know, when it's hurting and taking that pain, they're ginger on that front foot. So it's like every time he's seeing, you know, Adesanya trying to throw something at it, he's trying to pick his leg up, and then one kick came out, he hit it, and he threw a punch right on top, right in his face, and it dropped Paulo. And, you know, that's when he got on top and just started hammer fist, and it started, like, I want to say the second or third one. That's when the ref stopped it because he knew it was going to get brutal because Costa was more or less trying to protect instead of, you know, defend and throw something back. And it's hard when they're down on the canvas and trying to not get hit. They got to block. Well, I mean, you want them to punch up. Like, and that's the question I want to ask you, too, because you brought that up. Why, as we, as fans or spectators, are so caught up in the world of a knockout? Like that's all we want to see. Like yeah, it's amazing to see, like, that one punch power, and everybody has that button somewhere in their chin. If it gets touched, they're going to drop. But it's like if you're doing things technically and tactical, you could take care of business just like Adesanya did. And I don't know. It's kind of like how everybody lives for, like, Manny Pacquiao to be the knockout artist. He lost to Floyd. People are like, well, we wanted to see a knockout. Or Canelo doing the same thing to Floyd and lost that fight. And it's like they wanted to live for the knockout. Or Mike Tyson being a knockout guy, but he gets taken care of technically by Lennox Lewis or other people that, you know, withstood the storm of a knockout artist that lives off of that one-punch power. Like, why are we, as the society of, you know, fans of the fighting era, that live for knockouts?
Yeah, I don't know. It's funny. It's really in all sports. I mean, no one wants to see the Patriots dink and dunk for 5 yards of play and score a touchdown. We want to see Pat Mahomes throw 50 to Tyreek Hill. You know, nobody in basketball. Nobody likes the half court game anymore. No one likes the hey, let's post it up and get our big man 40 points. That's slow and boring. We want running the floor. We want this and that. We want, you know, it's I can't explain it. You know, it's just that excitement factor. Maybe it's that fascination that those kind of excitement plays or those type of things are not common to the typical person, so they want to see what's not common, you know. I'll be honest, not that I can be a professional football player, but when I watch the Patriots dink and dunk for 4 yards, I'm like, I can run that route. There's nothing impressive about it, you know. So maybe that's what it is. I don't know. Everyone's different. But I'll tell you this, those kicks to the legs, though, I'm anxious to see that fight now that you said he damaged up Costa's leg that bad. There was one time I was I wasn't getting into a situation with an MMA fighter, but I was just joking around with the guy, and we were buddies, and I wasn't expecting it, and he kicked me in my upper leg, and I thought he broke it in half. It was the worst pain I ever felt. And that was just one. It's a good thing I was about a six-pack deep because if I didn't have that beer in my system, I probably would have cried. So as I tried to just be a man about it, I acted like it didn't hurt, he reared back and kicked me in the same spot again, and my whole body just went numb. So those leg kicks are no joke, man. I've experienced it myself.
That's funny. I don't mean to laugh because I can imagine the pain. I can imagine the pain. But I don't know what you said at that bar to make maybe it pissed them off. But I'm real close to an MMA fighter, a real big name in the MMA. Well, he's retired but trying to make his comeback now, at least in the start of 2021. And I've never pushed him to that point. But I could imagine because he's not a leg kicker, but he's one of the knockout artists of UFC, and his name is big in the knockout game, and he's actually a light heavyweight. So the crazy part is that if he went back, he'd probably have to go after Błachowicz as well, too. So crazy. And just like you saying that, man, the highlights are out. It is on YouTube, so you can catch the highlight, and it's just like 7 minutes of the fight because he basically stops it at – or the ref stops it in like 3 minutes in – to the second round. So, man, I salute Israel. I give him a ton of credit. Like, again, you know, the way Costa was, the way that Costa took care of Romero, I was like, whoa, like, just like you said, I thought it was going to be the same thing. I thought he was going to come out, and once he got close to him, it was like, I don't know how much of the dancing and, you know, crazy tactics that Adesanya could do, but he took care of business. An excellent fight and lived up to the hype, too. I just didn't think that it would have went that way. And heart of a lion, man, heart of a lion. I give him a lot of credit. Okay, so I'm going to do this part quickly because I know week three is here and I will probably have a lot of breakdowns, so on and so forth. And this is, like, my happy place. I don't know if people remember the movie, like Hook, well, not Peter Pan. Well, it is a point with Peter Pan, but the Hook version. And when they were trying to get Robin Williams to turn back into the original Peter Pan, he's like, this thing, happy thoughts. Well, right now I'm about to get into my happy thoughts, right? So it's the top 25 scoreboard, at least for this portion, and there's a lot of talk in college football. The Big 12 underway. The SEC just got back. The Big 10 are coming back as well. So a lot of them are coming. Also the Pac-12 too. So out there with you in Cali and things of that nature, they're going to be coming back out here playing too shortly. So this is good that college football is back. And it's one thing that somebody said to me, college football ain't the same without that stadium being packed with all college students and the fans screaming their faces off, so on and so forth on a Saturday. And I 100% agree. Even though football is being played and I love the sport, but especially college football, but especially what I'm going to get into with my happy thoughts. Okay, so let me start at the top of the top 25 with these scores and get into some of the games. First, we have Alabama, ranked number second in the nation, going into Missouri, taking care of business 38-19. Even though it was a, you know, 35-6 score going into the fourth, Missouri put up, you know, 13 points in the fourth to try to make this look respectable. But Alabama was too out of reach, too far, and overpowered Missouri at home to set off SEC play. Here we go, my happy place. The next game. Third-ranked Oklahoma in Norman loses to Kansas State 38-35, in which, people, Oklahoma was up 14 and going into the fourth. And Kansas State put up 17 points in the fourth to come back and win this game. I tip my hat to Kansas State because there are some gaudy numbers for teams that are ranked higher than fifth that have that type of lead, that they do not lose. It doesn't happen. And Kansas State came back and won this game in Norman, in Oklahoma, to do this. I salute them for getting this done. It's already underway with these upsets. And Kansas State being unranked. Unranked. And this is the crazy part. Looking at the Big 12 to me, I just get mad at the Big 12 because they don't play an ounce of defense. Kansas State came out and played defense in the fourth to win this game. I never thought I would say defense and Big 12 together. I never thought. Fourth-ranked Georgia goes into Arkansas, wins that game clean, 37-10, to set off their SEC play in the season. Florida comes out with a big game from Kyle Trask. He has 6 touchdowns, thrown 416 yards pass, to set off their SEC play up against Ole Miss. The score was 51-35, even though they let Ole Miss put up some points. I do got to give Ole Miss credit for at least trying to make this score respectable, but it's still a blowout for them to put up 50 points. Here we go, happy place. Upset, probably of the year right now. Mississippi State goes into, oh my goodness, they went into Death Valley and beat LSU to set off SEC play after they're defending the national championship, but Joe Burrow and company, all of the stars are in the league right now. So, like, I got to respect LSU for coming out there and trying to defend their title, but, you know, Mississippi State probably had their engine revved up more than ever. KJ Costello, I know people do not know this name. 623 yards passing in a game with 5 touchdowns thrown in LSU, in Baton Rouge. Tipping my hat, people. I'm on the watch for him. That could be Heisman potential if he keeps that up. If he keeps that up, it's Heisman potential. Another SEC matchup, top 25. Auburn takes care of business up against Kentucky at home, 29-13. Kentucky was 23rd in the nation. I think they may fall out of content, well, out of the top 25 at least. I won't say contention, but that, you know, that's the setup of the SEC right now. That's the first game that they played. Texas, right? Now, this is why I get mad at the Big 12, people. Texas went their game 63-56. Texas was taking care of business in this game, up 31-21 at the half, and Texas Tech just got hot, like in fuego hot, putting up 35 points in the second half, going and forcing overtime. Texas scores the ball first. Texas Tech gets the ball and throws a pick late, fourth down pass, and Texas survives 63-56. This is exactly why I get mad at the Big 12. Listen to the score, 63-56, and this is the first game. It's the second game, but still, Texas Tech always has shootout games. It's like you score, I score. You score, I score. You don't score, I'm gonna score. Like it's that is what bothers me in the Big 12. The next matchup we have, Texas A&M wins their game up against Vanderbilt 17-12 in an SEC defensive battle. Texas A&M being 10th ranked in the nation. Now this is where I'm flying. This is the Peter Pan in me flying. Those Miami Hurricanes protect their house in that rivalry. Yes, that rivalry. Miami, Florida State winning that game 52-10. All right, so Florida State played a game 2 weeks ago, then had a bye last week. And, you know, their coach unfortunately got caught with the COVID-19. And they've been struggling out the gate. And they've been struggling for the past couple of years. But when I'm telling myself, I'm like, I don't care how bad Florida State may look, they will play their tails off in that matchup no matter what happens. This is the matchup that everybody looks at being a rivalry other than possibly Michigan or Ohio State. Like, Florida State-Miami is what everybody knows. I did not think that this type of blowout was in our back pocket, 52-10. De'Aaron King still on Heisman watch. He was one of the leaders in rushing the ball as well. 8 carries with 65 yards. If he wasn't 5'10", 5'11", I think he'd be a big name for the NFL. I mean, he might get to the league and be a quarterback still, but he had a lot in the tank. He could scramble as well. I love it. The defense came out and played, even with one player being ejected by unsportsmanlike conduct and one also being ejected for targeting. Miami was still able to hold Florida State to 10 points. Like, that's insane in this matchup. Like, I love it. And this is the one thing that has me, like, anxious, nervous, like, concerned. They have a bye this coming Saturday, but on October 10th, the Hurricanes play the Clemson Tigers. So I don't want to get too hyped because I know Clemson could probably knock us off, but if Miami could knock off Clemson, oh, my goodness, I would be out of my skin going crazy. I will go crazy if we knock off Clemson, but the deal won't be done. But they took care of business up against Florida State 52-10. UCF beat East Carolina in North Carolina 51-28. Dylan Gabriel put up 408 yards passing with 4 touchdowns thrown. Cincinnati cruises in their win at home up against Army 24-10. Oklahoma State had an interesting start to the game, 20-7 in the first half. Ended up winning the game 27-13 up against West Virginia. Tennessee survives up against South Carolina 31-27. This game was very interesting. They were going back and forth in this game, especially when the second half came around. BYU to close out the night, 18th ranked, 48-7 up against Troy. Louisiana survives again. Like I don't know what it is. It's like they're having nail-biter game after nail-biter game up against Georgia Southern, but this was 20-18. Louisiana survives at home. Virginia Tech beats, and this is crazy. This is a crazy story, people. Virginia Tech in their first game of the season wins 45-24, in which at the start of the game, Virginia Tech had 23 players out for the game. 23 players could not suit up and play in this game, and they still took care of business up against NC State, 45-24. And Pittsburgh rounds out the top 25, taking out Louisville 23-20 in an ACC battle. And Louisville loses for the second week in a row, being 24th ranked. I think they will fall out of the top 25 as well. Are there any games or any scores that may have caught your attention, Norm, that you would like to discuss?
Yeah, you know, I'm not a college football fan. I just too many missed tackles. I still don't like the fact that you only have 1 foot inbounds. I don't like the fact that the clock stops all the time. So I'm not a college football fan very much. So my highlights are when does SC play Notre Dame? That's about the only game I watch all year. I always root for SC. And then I like to gamble on the bowl games when it comes to bowl game season. That's my tidbits for college football.
Come on, you got your talent comes from there. You being a KC fan, you got to watch this. Like, come on, you wouldn't know Tyreek Hill or Mahomes. And I'm up here talking junk about Texas Tech. Mahomes came from the Shootout City, and he's your guy with the pistol now. Like you can't do that. Like, you gotta know where the talent is coming from.
It's funny you say that, because when the Chiefs drafted Pat Mahomes, my phone blew up with everybody, and I just said, well, who is this guy? I had no idea who Pat Mahomes was.
Are you serious?
So I don't research the players until they get drafted. Once the players get drafted, then I'll go back and look at highlights of them. I'll see what they're getting in those guys. I'll look at that. That's when I start developing an idea. What I don't like about the college football is, it would bother me when I would see a wide receiver, who was just faster than everyone else, and he's playing against a bad team, break two tackles, walk into the end zone and start doing his dance, me knowing that that guy isn't even going to make it in the NFL. So I didn't want to give him I don't even want to give him my time. I don't want to say this guy's great, because it's such a far stretch from being good in college to being great in the NFL.
So okay, let's talk about receivers then. So when Randy Moss came out of Marshall, you didn't know about him?
I had no idea who Randy Moss was. But I'll tell you this, when Randy Moss came out, what Randy Moss did in his first year was literally probably one of the greatest campaigns I think I've ever seen from a rookie. I mean, and that's saying a lot, but maybe it was just the time at the age I was at, or the way football was, but what Randy Moss did for Minnesota that year, that was just the most amazing thing I'd ever seen from a rookie.
I'm going to be honest. His team was in so much trouble, I didn't hear too much about him, but like, I want to say like week three or week four in that season in college football, one of my friends came to school and was like, listen, and this was my senior year when he was a senior at Marshall. He's like, yo, I don't know if you're watching him, but this dude Randy Moss. I'm like, yeah, right. I'm like, hey, man, and all of them in the league. I'm like, well, in college football, I'm like, there's no way. I'm not like, and I'm not a Tennessee fan. I'm not nowhere near a Peyton Manning fan. Like, I want to see Peyton fall, but there couldn't nobody stop Tennessee right there. And Charles Woodson, it was Michigan. It was those guys. Like, it wasn't no Moss. But then I paid attention. It was a Mac game, and just watching him play, and he had a game. It was like six touchdowns against Ball State. I was like, in a game. Like, in a game, and all Chad Pennington would do is take three steps and just throw a bomb. Like, I'm like, wait, hold on. Like, what? This is that type of football. Like, that. Like, and then he came in the league, it was like no slowdown. It was like Brad Johnson had the first game after that. It was Randall Cunningham after that. They just went clean straight and running the table. And we're like, whoa, like, awesome stuff. Like you got it. Come on, you got to switch it up. Get back in the college football. I know at one point today, just because they got 1 foot inbound, at least they're trying. They're learning the game, and yeah, the missed tackles may happen. But and this is another thing about like, and I may be brutal, people. I may be brutal, so forgive me. But this is what's wrong with like the sport, because they know what they're getting into, and I don't want to see people get the bad concussions like the movie, so on and so forth. But that's the gladiator form. If you want them to watch boxing or watch, UFC, you're watching people get taken out. Those hits are being taken away because that's how fast they move. Like, it's not like they're intentionally trying to knock somebody unconscious. They got to get there to make the play so they don't give up any more yards. Like, and if somebody gets hit hard enough, and, they're not trying to go helmet to helmet, but if it happens, they get called for targeting and taken out of the game. It's not intentional. So that's what's, at least to me, bothering me about college football. But the aura of the sport, I'm involved. I'm engaged. I can't say that I don't watch it every year, every Saturday. I got to watch something. I got it. And then the hype of trying to see who can knock off Alabama weekly or Clemson if they can come out there and stop them. So that's there too. So there's a lot. There's a lot. Anything else before we get away from the top 25 or college football in general?
No, sir. I'm licking my chops to give my picks for the NFL this week.
Oh, he's licking his chops. Okay, so we'll get into the week three rundown in the NFL and try to save myself as much time as possible, because This could be interesting. So the first matchup we have are the Chicago Bears in Atlanta. The Falcons are favored by 3. Sports City, I want to apologize before I like go crazy on air, right? I don't want to be too mean, right? This is the same Atlanta Falcons team, what, 3 years ago? I think it was 3-4 years maybe. They lost the Super Bowl to the New England Patriots, and you got Norman here talking about, yeah, I don't like to see the Patriots dink and dunk and do 5 yard routes. I can do 5 yard routes. Yeah, I want you to do a 5 yard cross and run into the teeth of a linebacker. That's it. I just want to see it happen. Like you, they may throw him off a target. Who knows? But nevertheless, right? That happened. I still think from that Super Bowl, where the Patriots came back from the 28-3 deficit to come back and win that game, that the Falcons are still drunk from that game, and they're still in a hangover. The way that they lost to the Dallas Cowboys last Sunday, I don't know how to explain it. With them being at home, them up 19 points and not turning the ball over, it's like, what's going on? Like, I give the Cowboys credit for the comeback. Let me give them credit. I don't want to take too much away from them. And they definitely did freeze Julio out of the game. They did their best to keep Julio out of the game, and they did that. But for him to get answers all across the field from everybody else, and they still lose at home, and let alone the god-awful onside kick, it's like, wait, hold on. Everybody in the sport or watches the sport knows about an onside kick. Like, how and why did you guys not fall on this ball? Let alone the guy that fell on the ball, right? And we were talking basketball earlier. He boxes out the guy, so he's like clearly getting in front of you guys so you guys don't fall on the ball. You guys aren't even fighting to, like, make him touch the ball so he can get a penalty. Nobody did nothing. Y'all sat there and watched that game get hit. It's like y'all gift-wrapped the game to the Cowboys. I don't get it. They're favored in this game up against the Bears, and the Bears are 2-0. Like, so I'm stunned on how this goes down. Your thoughts on his game, who do you like? And if you want to talk about that god-awful game that the Falcons lost up against the Cowboys, you can as well. But your thoughts, Bears-Falcons, it's in Atlanta.
I like Atlanta to win this game. They are better than the Chicago Bears, not record-wise, but the Bears have won 2 games against 2 not-so-good opponents. I give them credit for – or Trubisky some credit for controlling the ball and not making mistakes, and that's why they're 2-0. Atlanta has played well and unfortunately continue to collapse, and I think you're right. I think they just can't, for whatever reason, overcome what happened that one time. It's like they're permanently scarred. But at the end of the day, I like Atlanta to cover the 3 points, and I'm throwing a cool 100 on this one.
Wow, okay, and we got the wager talk, too. This is interesting. Here's 3 points. It depends on if that front line shows up for the Bears. If Khalil Mack and company could get them, man, this is tough, man. I'm scared to say Falcons. That's what just happened. They're losing games like this to win a 19-point lead. I'm scared to say Atlanta. I'm scared to say Atlanta. It'd be crazy to see the Bears get a 3-0 start right now. I can't even overplay that. If Trubisky the real deal, if Trubisky could outshoot Matt Ryan, that's what's here on the call right here. Jeez, you know what? I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna go Falcons too. I'm right with you. If the Falcons pull this off, you people buckle up for Week 4 next week. If the Falcons lose this game to the Bears, unless the Bears clearly just blow them out. If something crazy happens in the game, then I understand it. But if the Falcons play the ball that they're supposed to, especially having the world look at them look bad last week up against the Cowboys, I can't do anything. Okay, so calling in from the northern portion of New York, we have James Greenwood in the building. Welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
I'm feeling good, Ty. How about yourself?
I'm doing all right. So we have the Bears and Falcons in Atlanta. Who do you like and why? And if you want to talk about the Cowboys game, you can also.
I can't talk. I mean, it was amazing to watch. That's all I can say, man. It was quite – I mean, I thought the Super Bowl was bad, and then – but, I mean, at least the Patriots were an exceptional team, and, you know, the Cowboys are kind of half an exceptional team. I just don't know about that. But I'm also taking the Falcons. The Falcons are probably the best winless team in the league right now. And the Bears are the worst undefeated team in the league right now. I can't trust Mitchell Trubisky to do anything in the league. He is incredibly lucky to be handed such a phenomenal defense. It's the only way they're winning games. At the end of the day, I'm taking Atlanta. They've got to have a bad taste in their mouth after last week. I will take Atlanta. They will cover the points pretty easily, I think. So Atlanta all the way.
All right. So like Sports City, this next game, right? I'm like nervous, and this is like tell Owen, get your popcorn ready, right? We have the 2-0 Rams going across the country to northern portion of, well, the West New York area, you know. Up against the Buffalo Bills, you know, James Greenwood is here right on time. And the Bills, this is why I'm like, I'm getting my popcorn ready. The Bills, like, how dare you? Like, they're calling out Aaron Donald, like, anybody on that team, like anybody on that doggone team, you're going to get 99 waking up, like let him sleep, like, leave him alone, walk completely around him, don't even tiptoe, like, walk, like 40 feet around him, like, not even 20 or 10, like, give him room, and you guys are calling him out. He said, good, I'm glad that y'all looking at me like that. I'm just a man, I don't want no other smoke. Like, I really feel like he's going to come out in this game and go crazy. Now, I don't know if the Rams will come across the country and beat them, but I want to see how he plays. If he gets to Josh Allen and causes havoc back there, I'm going to let you start this off first, James, since this is your team. The Rams and Bills, Western New York, it takes place. Who do you like in this game and why?
Shoot, I'll take them right now. I'm sick and tired of those boys in Detroit, man. I don't know how much longer I can take this. Yeah, the Buffalo Bills, I'm taking them. I do understand that they've beaten a couple of really, really bad teams. I think this is a game where home field advantage is going to mean everything. The Rams going across the country, dealing with the time change, dealing with all these other things. It's going to be the small advantage that the Bills need to get the victory. I'm taking the Bills in a really tight one-score game.
Okay, Norm, who do you like in this game, Rams or Bills, and why?
Yeah, it should be a good game, and really it could go either way. I'm making no wagers on this game. This is a game you stay away from. But since I have to make a pick, I will take the home team. I'm going to take Buffalo, and I just think Buffalo has the personnel on defense to stop the run and take away the bootleg. Really, the Rams are based all off play action and bootleg, and when you force them into third and longs, Goff is not as consistent. So it should be a tight game. It could go either way, but I will take the home team to cover the spread.
I'm going to go Bills as well, but I wouldn't be shocked if the Rams pull this off. If the Rams pull this off today in Buffalo, this is the team to watch. I was talking about this last night. I was like, the Rams are surprising me. If they pull this off, they are the team to watch and could potentially be a threat to the Seahawks in the West. I'm saying that right now, especially with that new stadium. They're already hyped up. I hate to say this, Sports City, but we have to call this game. The 1-1 Washington Redskins go to Cleveland, 1-1. Who wins this game? This is crazy because you got Haskins trying to prove himself. You have Mayfield still trying to prove himself in the league. The Browns are 1-0 at home. I want to see how you guys feel about this, but I'll go first. I go Cleveland. They're favored by 7. I don't know if they cover the 7. I don't know. I think Washington actually covers the 7, but I think Cleveland does hang on to win this game, but they will not cover. I'll go to you first, James. I'll go to you, Norm. I'll come right back to you, Norm. Who are you liking this matchup, the Washington football team or the Cleveland Browns?
Yeah, again, Cleveland has done nothing to impress me, and you know, Washington's defense is very stout. The problem is Washington just cannot score points. I mean, they unless their defense comes up with turnovers, they have nothing going for them on offense. So, you know, I'm pretty sure Cleveland's going to win that game. You know, covering the spread, that's a tough one too. I am going to place a wager on this one. I'm going to put $50 on the Washington Redskins for the first half. I think that the game will be close enough in the first half that they'll cover the first half lines. But I just don't think Washington's going to be able to score enough points. And I see Cleveland at least getting 24. So I'm going to go Cleveland with the win. I'm not so sure they're going to cover that 7 either.
James, who do you like in this one, the Washington football team or the Browns?
I don't know how either team scores a point in this game. I would further bet on a 0-0 tie than either one of them winning the game.
Wow.
They're both terrible on offense. Mainly based off of their quarterback play. Baker Mayfield has proven that he was a waste of a pick, and Dwayne Haskins is still young and inexperienced and still has a lot of growing to do on the offensive side of the ball and doesn't have the support that is needed for a budding young quarterback. So I love myself some Terry McLaurin, but that's it. That's all they've got on this offense. Both defenses are incredibly stout and very talented. So I am going to take the Browns to win. But I'm going to take the under. I'm going to take the points from Washington, but that's about it. I mean, I'm taking the Browns to win, but not by much.
Okay, the next matchup, this is a pretty good game, actually, to me. But, you know, I'm doing this for my mother because my mom is a fan of one of these teams. But the next matchup we have are the Tennessee Titans going into Minnesota up against the Vikings. The Vikings are 0-2 out of the gate with a ton of talent. Like, I don't get it. Like, how are they struggling with all of the weapons that they have across the board, and including in the kick, well, in the return game? So it's like, I'm wondering what's going on with the Vikings. And my mom is a Viking fan and root like crazy for them. But I really feel like Tennessee will go into this thing and start up the season 3-0. I feel bad, people, because I'm like having to support Ryan Tannehill, and people that know me know that I do not like this dude. But he is up to no good with this team, and he has the monster behind him. So it's like I gotta give him some type of credit because he's feeding Derek. And Derek is on base. He has 100 yards a game, and at least averaging that. So, but with Dalvin Cook and Thielen, and you know, they got Jefferson on this team. Like, they got a ton of speed for the Vikings to be 0-2. I'm wondering what's going on, especially the way that they lost to the Colts last week. But I'm going to say Tennessee wins this one on the road. Tennessee's favored by 2.5. James, I'll come to you. Your thoughts, Tennessee or the Vikings? It's in Minnesota.
See, I'm also taking Tennessee. The Vikings are not as good of a team as they were last year. I think a lot of people are forgetting exactly the number of players that they lost off of that team offensively and defensively last year. But, yeah, I'm taking the Tennessee Titans, who appear to be picking up right where they left off of last season. Tennessee for the win.
Norm, who do you like in this matchup, Titans or Vikings in Minnesota? And the Titans are favored 2.5.
I'll take Minnesota at home. They've done nothing impressive so far this year. I agree. Minnesota's window to, you know, make a run at a Super Bowl was maybe the last 2 to 3 years. They've gotten worse. They're going to finish the season 7-9, 6-10. But this is a game they win. They're at home, and this bet's more about, I don't believe in Tennessee either. Tennessee's beaten two lackluster teams to be 2-0, and they had a hard time doing it. Derrick Henry is obviously a big man. He's going to get his yards running, but I'm going to take the home team here. And I will take the points instead of the money line because, just in case things don't go how I'm seeing it, but I will take Minnesota to win this game.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Now, this is must-see TV, and I'm definitely looking for this to be a running back game for sure, because I'm no Cousins fan, as James knows, and I'm not no Tannehill fan either. So both of these guys are very horrible in my past with these two guys. So it's like I'm waiting to see how many rushing yards either Henry or Dalvin Cook gets. This could get very interesting. Now, Sports City. I hate to say it like this about myself, but I might be telling my age, and I don't feel like I'm telling my age, but I want you guys to think back 19 years ago. It took place right next door to me, well, right above me, shall I say, in a state called Massachusetts, 2001. It was snowing outside, and there was a rush coming, and Charles Woodson got back there. Tom Brady pumped face and put the ball back in his hands, fumbled. And then the ref comes out and says, no, it's a tumble, it was a pass. And I'm like, what? I'm like, that's a fumble, clearly. And ethically, that starts off the journey of the GOAT, Tom Brady. Like, and I got a friend that is a diehard Raider fan. If I say the word Patriot to him, because he's a Raider fan, mind you, if I say the word Patriot or if I say Brady, yo, he goes nuts. Like, not like he like, all right, come on. Like, no, he gets mad because he thinks about that game, like, period. He's like, yo, we should have won the Super Bowl. There's no way that they got to the Super Bowl that we should have won the game. But that's neither here nor there. But we're back, and we got Norm talking about the Patriots with the five-yard dink and dunk. Well, they were a yard away from trying to win that game up against Seattle. They were close to winning that game. Seattle came up with a goal line stance. That had to be the most craziest boneheaded play that I'm giving McDaniel, and I don't know if Belichick had anything to do with it, but you cleared the whole backfield out with like three tight ends and extra linemen for Cam to say hike. Like, what do you think everybody in the world is thinking is happening right now? Like you didn't even give him an opportunity to like spread the field and try to make the rush and jump over the line. Like, everybody in the world knew he was running the ball. Like, why? And they came up clean. They, you know, broke that line up, took his legs out. That was it. The game was over. So 2-0 Las Vegas Raiders up against the 1-1 New England Patriots in New England. Norm, I'll let you go first. Vegas or New England? Who do you like and why? The Patriots are favored by 6.5.
Yeah, you know, it's not a smart bet, so I'm not putting money on it, but I'm enticed to take the Raiders plus 6.5. One thing I will say, and I guessed this one right before the start of the year, is I knew Las Vegas's offense was going to thrive, and they've done well. Gruden's an offensive-minded guy. This is year three. He's built the way he wants it. They're doing great. I know Ruggs is out. It does take away the deep threat, but next man up, they'll figure it out. I like the Raiders to stay close in this game, and I'm rooting for them to win because I can't stand the Patriots. And again, the Patriots, you know, they could have won last week too. They probably could be 2-0. They're still going to be right there in the end, but they just don't have it. I like Gruden. I'm basically putting this bet on Gruden, but so I'll take the Raiders with the points.
Okay, James, who do you like in this matchup, Raiders or Patriots?
I'm taking the Patriots, and I'm banging them to cover. We are seeing exactly why the New England Patriots consistently win all the time. They find a way to get a top-tier quarterback at really cheap cost. Enter Cam Newton, who was a little shaky, a little rusty in his first game back, but has shown an incredible ability to bounce back. And now he's starting to slowly get himself back to primetime Cam. And I have a feeling that over the next 3 or 4 weeks, he's just going to only improve. Add the fact that the Raiders do not look particularly stout defensively, even though they've invested a lot on that side of the ball over the past couple of years. I'm taking New England.
I agree with you, James. I'm going New England. I don't know if they cover because the Raiders look serious this year. They have veterans there, especially with Witten. Witten hasn't done anything on the field, but I think the influence of him being there helps. So I really think that this may be a different Raider team, but I think the Patriots do pull this off. I want to see if Carr has what it takes to take care of business up against this Patriots defense and put himself in that conversation to be one of the teams that knocked off the Patriots, i.e., the guy that calls himself the best quarterback in the league right now, and Russell Wilson. I tip my hat to Russ, too. But I'm going with you. I'm going Patriots. I don't know if they cover the 6.5. I'm giving the Raiders. If the points are there, I'm taking the Raiders with the point. I'm scared to say that, but I don't know if the Patriots do get a 7 or better win over these guys, but I'm going to Patriots at home. This is a very interesting game, especially shout out to one of the hosts here at Sports City and my brother for one team, and the area that I live in the southwest region of Connecticut and everybody in the tri-state area. We have the 1-1 San Francisco 49ers going up against the New York Giants, in which both of these teams lost their best player on the roster last week, both of them. You got Bosa that's done for the season in the ACL, and you got Saquon Barkley that unfortunately tore the ACL. Now, Sports City, like I was saying this on air, I've been saying this to a lot of people, and I'm glad I got this space to say it here on this platform. The Giants organization, you guys are horrible. And I can hear less on how, you know, this game goes, or how I select this game, or how you guys' success may go, or if it's not successful for the season. You guys put nobody around Saquon Barkley. The best player around him, I'm going to be honest, is Slayton. I think Slayton is probably the best receiver that they have in that cavalry. Golden Tate is a shell of himself. Like, I feel like Golden Tate could go somewhere and do work somewhere else. But on the Giants team, he's not as big of a name as he was. Clearly, I was saying this on air for the past 2 years, they're going to burn him out and he's going to be out of the league early. And this is a great talent, and I feel bad in saying this. He got hurt right after I was saying that on air, right in the middle of while I was watching the game. I was like, they're going to burn him out. And it was a simple tackle. It wasn't even like it was a crazy tackle or everybody went after him, but he tore his knee. And I'm like, watch, he work his tail off to get back in the NFL shape and be stuck in the same situation. You guys are not attracting anybody free agent-wise. You guys are not picking up any big name in the draft. Nothing is happening in New York. This is horrible that you could potentially waste this type of talent. And he's taking words from a guy like Adrian Peterson, which Adrian Peterson had an injury similar. And Adrian Peterson says, you know, work yourself out and get back in the shape. And, you know, and Saquon is a workout beast. He's a training beast. He can do everything necessary to get back here. And every defense, when he gets on the field, they're going to be like, get to Saquon. Like, that's going to be the makeup. Unless you guys put some threats out there, like Evan Engram, I give him some credit. He's a tight end wide receiver, I'd more or less say. He doesn't block. He plays off the line. He's more or less in the slot and he can catch and has good speed to be a tight end. But that's it. Like, there's only two other players that you could think that could potentially take pressure away from this type of running back. I feel horrible that this could potentially be the makeup of Saquon the rest of his career. I want to see you come back and do well, Saquon. Even though I don't like the Giants, but that's horrible. I had to get that off of my chest. But for this matchup, I'm going to the Niners. The Niners are favored by 3. I think they cover. This will be a nail-biter type of game because they lost, you know, a good amount of talent on the defensive side of the ball with Bosa being out. So if they can't get to Danny Dimes, who made it the game at the end of the game up against the Bears. They could have won it. It was a pass play at the end of the end game, and they didn't complete it. But I'm going Niners. James, who do you like in this game, Niners or Giants? And if you want to talk about Saquon, you can as well.
I'm taking the Giants. They did lose their best player, but the 49ers lost way more than Nick Bosa this past weekend. They lost Jimmy Garoppolo, who is out for this game. Dee Ford is a game-time decision. Raheem Mostert is also out for the game, and Tevin Coleman. So they're working off of bare bones. The fact that Vegas is still giving them 3-point favorites is, I think, on name alone. Because the Giants are bad. They're really bad, but they're not playing against the first string team of the San Francisco 49ers anymore. They're playing mostly second string guys at every key position. And this is going to be the first week back for an aging Richard Sherman, who we don't know what he's going to look like coming off of a week off. So there's a lot of things that the Giants, they don't necessarily have an advantage of, but they're a lot closer to the 49ers right now than people think. And that's why I'm taking them for this game, especially at home.
Very interesting. Norm, who do you like in this matchup, Niners or Giants? And if you want to talk about the Saquon or Bosa situation, you can also.
Yeah, this is just an ugly game I have no interest in. I do think the Niners are going to win, though. I think they're just a better program. They're going to lean heavy on the run. Shanahan's going to just force the run. Don't know much on the Giants' defense. If they can stop the run and force this, I think Mullen is the name of the quarterback that's thrown for Frisco. If they can force him to third and longs, they should be successful. They have that home field advantage. But I just like the 49ers to win this ugly game that I have no interest in. Yeah, the Saquon situation is unfortunate. Really what you're seeing with the Giants is you know, the Eli Manning era, when that died out, it's basically rebuild mode. They picked Saquon Barkley because I think he was the top pick on the board left. So, you know, they're kind of like, let's make this guy our next face. They did not surround him. But that's also because they don't have a really good front office. Gettleman's, you know, horrible. And even then, if you want a really good coach to come to your program to help turn it around – you have to have, you know, good coaches with good reputations are only going to go to a program where there's a quarterback they can build off of. And I like this Daniel Jones guy. He's doing much better than, like, Sam Darnold and some of the other new guys that came out. But he's not that top-name guy that's really going to attract a top-tier coach. So they're still looking for an identity. I think, yeah, they're going to have these just kind of down years until they get someone with some experience in there running that program.
All right, did I say Niners? Or, well, if I didn't, I'm saying Niners. I think they cover as well. If I didn't say it, I feel bad. Saquon, man, get well. You and Bosa, I feel bad for Bosa too. And, you know, the way that he came out last year out the gate and then, you know, not even into the first quarter of the season, they're both out for the season. That's incredible. Okay, the next game is a very interesting matchup. I like this. I'm going to keep my eye on this game. The Cincinnati Bengals go into the link up against the Eagles. They're both 0-2. Joe Burrow looking for his first win in his career in the NFL and looks good. I'm not going to take too much away from him. He looks good. He's rattled a little, but he looks good. And Carson Wentz, if you can't pull this off up against Cincinnati, that question starts to loom. I don't really want to say overrated, but, like, did they put too many eggs in one basket on Carson Wentz with his injury proneness in his first couple of seasons, and now he's not able to pull off wins, especially the way that they lost to the Redskins. Oh, excuse me, I'll keep calling them the Redskins. I apologize. The Washington football team where they had the lead and lost that game. And this is crazy. Like, who is the better quarterback in that division? Is it Wentz now or is it Dak now? Like, people were giving Wentz the leg up, and it was Dak looking up. Now it's like Dak is potentially the guy in that division. But I want to see how you guys feel about this. Norm, I'll start with you first. Bengals and Eagles, who do you like and why? The Eagles are favored by 5.
Yeah, I'll take the Eagles. I don't like betting the line on this one. This is the one that I'll put on a parlay to take the Eagles to win outright. Yeah, they're 0-2. Yeah, it's not going to look good for them at season's end. But the Bengals, as good as Burrow has looked, and he's doing a great job, the more film that comes out on them, the more they see on this Bengals offense with Burrow. Defenses are going to start zoning into his tendencies, and you're going to see Burrow start to make more rookie mistakes as the years go on. So I like the Eagles. They're just a more veteran team. I don't know how much they're going to win by, but they're going to win this game.
James, who do you like, the Bengals or your Eagles in this matchup in the link?
I'll take the Eagles in this game as well, for all the same reasons. The Bengals are a really perplexing team because every time you look at them, oh, man, they've got this talent. They've got A.J. Green. They've got a great wide receiving core. Their offensive line isn't bad. Their defense is starting to come together, and they just never do it. They just never bring it together. I'm not sure if it's a coaching issue, if it's what the issue is, but at the end of the day, it's the Eagles. They're a better football team right now.
This is tough. This is really tough. I'm going to go Eagles. I want to go Eagles, and this is why. James used to be high on A.J. Green. I don't know what happened, but A.J. Green is a shell of himself. I'm not seeing these Gordy numbers that we're used to seeing. Something happened. I don't know what's going on, but you got Burrow that's looking decent. Like, he's not looking bad, but something is happening in the transition of this game where they're not able to close out. But I'm going to go with the Eagles to pull this out off. If not, Wentz, you will be the discussion in the kitchen if you guys go 0-3, especially losing at home to a Bengals team that damn near went 0-16 last year, and they're coming with a rookie quarterback that has the same, you know, makeup as yourself. You guys are guys that can make plays on the move and have good arms as well. So I'm going Eagles. I don't know if they cover. That five is looking like a reach. I think the Bengals will cover with the point. So I'm going to go Eagles to win outright. If it were to, you know, go with the spread, I'm going with Cincinnati with the spread. The next matchup we have are the Houston Texans going into Heinz Field up against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm going to come out and say this right now. I'm going to go Steelers. I am going to go Steelers. But the Texans can make this interesting. And I feel bad to see them go 0-3 out the gate. But Deshaun Watson could probably make this a game. But the Texans defense is not, you know, popping out at me. Like, J.J. Watt, you're not hearing too much about J.J. either. So that all comes into play. So I'm going to go Steelers to win this one. I think Watson will make this a game. The Steelers are favored by 3.5. I actually want to say the Steelers covered. I'm going to say the Steelers covered at 3.5. James, I'll come to you next. Texans Steelers in Pittsburgh. Who do you like and why?
I agree with you 100%, Ty. I'm taking the Steelers. The Texans are the best winless team in the league right now. But with all that said, I'm still taking the Steelers. And I think it's once every 15 years or so, a team that starts 0-3 ends up making the playoffs. I think this is going to be one of those times where the Texans are going to figure it out and drive themselves to a playoff spot, especially in the 7-team format. But this game today, I'm taking Pittsburgh and to cover Tua. I'll give them that 3.5.
Norm, who do you like in this matchup? Texans or Steelers? The Steelers are favored by 3.5 in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I like the Texans here. And that has more to do with I don't believe in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's had two lackluster victories. They've beaten the Giants and they've beaten Denver. That's nothing to hoot-rah about. And to be honest with you, both of them came down to the last play, I think. If Daniel Jones doesn't throw that interception at the 5-yard line, that could have been a completely different game. So Big Ben is done. I'll tell you right now, he's a big guy. He's taking a lot of hits throughout the years. He came back healthy. I think he's playing this year only because he signed that big contract and he's trying to do what's right. But when they get into the thick of things and he starts getting hit and he starts getting pressure, you're going to see Big Ben quit. And so Pittsburgh's off to a good start. I'm banking on the fact that Pittsburgh's really not as good as their record shows. And I'll take Houston with the 3.5 points. And I don't think Houston's going to make the playoffs this year. But, you know, I think they have played two of the better teams, and that's why they're 0-2. So give me Houston plus 3.5.
Okay, we'll see how this pans out. I think once Ben took those first couple of hits in that first half against the Giants, woke him up, and he got comfortable. And we'll see. I don't know if he leaves after this season. Ben is probably one of the toughest quarterbacks that I've seen. I like the people that they try to throw in the conversation has been tough, but Ben's name is there.
Yeah.
Top three, top five. Like, I got to give him his credit, definitely.
Well, I had to pick on Big Ben just to boil up Sirius in case he's listening.
Oh, believe me, he will be listening. He probably is listening right now. He clicked on to the show, too, so that we'll see. He'll probably come back for you, so you just stay tuned. The next matchup we have, I don't even know which way to go, right? It is crazy that Norm just talked about this guy, and I was saying this when he came from Norm's neighborhood. When he came out of Norm's neighborhood, I was like, this guy is not the guy that they're saying that he built up to be. And the other guy, I used to sing his song a lot. And the first two games out the gate, he's been questionable. He's fortunate enough to pull off a win last week. But he's still throwing his interceptions. And this is the New York Jets go into Lucas Oil Stadium up against the Indianapolis Colts, in which Sam Darnold, I don't know how you did it. I don't know who you fooled. I don't know who in your family is rich enough to get these people to think that you are a starting quarterback in the league. No, sir. No, sir. And you're pulling off wins. I don't know how in the past two seasons. But, yeah, I don't know which way they're going to go, if the Jets are going to try and lose out or try to reform this guy or what, or try to bring a quarterback in to threaten them, i.e. a lot of people that I know that love gangrene think that Trevor Lawrence may be the pick that they go after. It'd be crazy because they went after quarterbacks, I think, for the past 3 or 4 years and had a stable of quarterbacks. Now they're stuck with Darnold and the money they're potentially throwing at him, and this is what they're stuck with. And then Phillip Rivers, I don't want to say it, but you're looking like a shell of yourself. But you pulled off a win up against Minnesota, so I got to give you credit on that end of the stick. But I'm going to go Colts at home to win this. They're favored by 11.5. I don't think they cover the 11.5, but I think they win. Unless Rivers has the pistol with him and starts shooting the hell out that defense, which could be there. That potential could be there, but I'm not comfortable saying that it will. So I'm going to go Colts, but they don't cover it. The Jets will have, you know, the advantage with the 11.5. James, I'll come to you first. You're gangrene up against the Indianapolis Colts.
That's one team I'm not going to take right now. It's gangrene. Sure. That's a factory. That is waiting to happen.
Right.
I'm taking the Colts, and I think they actually cover. As sad as that might sound, yeah, I know people are going to say that the Jets are still a professional football team, but they're really not. Sam Darnold is bad. There's no they've never put anything around him either. So they're right there in the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes, right there at the top. I think they actually lose to Miami. Both games. I don't see a professional football team in the league right now that they beat. So I'm going to take the Colts. I'm going to give the Jets the points, and it's not even that hard to me.
So you think the Colts cover?
I think they cover.
Whoa, okay, here we go. 11.5.
Two
they
touchdowns,
beat them
easy. 13? Oh, that's even better. I'd give them two touchdowns easy.
I'll keep my eyes glued to this one for you. Just on behalf of you, Norm, who do you like in this matchup? Colts are favored by 11.5 at home against the Jets.
Well, the Jets are arguably the worst team in the league. That's pretty evident. So there's two things that we know for sure about this game. One, the Jets are going to lose. Two, Phillip Rivers is going to throw an interception. Those are guarantees.
Right.
But I just really think, what did you say the line was, 11 or 13?
11.5.
To me, that's too many points. The Jets, as bad as they are, I would, if I was making a pick on a card, I would take the 11.5 and the Jets. But I just stay away from this game because both teams are ugly. I don't like it. But my pick is the Colts to win. They will not cover the spread.
The next one we have are the Carolina Panthers, 0-2 out the gate up against the Los Angeles Chargers, 1-1 at home in Los Angeles. I'll come right back to you, Norm. Who do you like in this matchup, the Panthers or the Chargers? Bridgewater, I think McCaffrey's still out, but your thoughts on this game and the status of the Panthers without their new face of the organization.
Okay, so this is my upset special. I'm taking Carolina to beat the Chargers, and I'm only doing this because I've followed the Chargers for so long, and this is typical Charger fashion right here. They probably should have beaten Kansas City last week. They played very good. The defense was excellent. Justin Herbert looked great, and so you would just think against an inferior opponent they'd come out and handle business, and the Chargers for some reason just don't. It's awkward. And Bridgewater's done a good job. There's nothing special going on there. Even with McCaffrey out, that doesn't bother me. I see Carolina winning this game for no reason other than the Chargers are just a weird program.
James, who do you like in this matchup, Panthers, Chargers? Are you going with the upset? And by the way, Norm, just to let you know, the Chargers are favored 6.5. Just to let
you
know.
Yeah, that's a money line bet. I take Carolina to win the game, money line.
Okay.
I'm taking San Diego.
It's Los Angeles now.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm taking the Chargers. And this hurts me as a big fan of Teddy Bridgewater. I still am a big fan of Teddy Bridgewater. I think he is probably one of, if not the most underrated quarterback in the league right now. But at the end of the day, it's not going to be enough. The defense on Carolina is just awful. It may be, outside of the New York Jets, it might be the worst one in the league. So it doesn't matter if it's Tyrod Taylor, who has been rumored to take the starting spot back once he gets healthy, or if it is Herbert. I'm still taking the Chargers in that defense to keep Carolina low enough to get enough points to win. I'm taking the under, by the way, if that's a thing. But I'm taking
the over under is 43.5.
I'm still taking the under. Taking the under, and I'm taking San Diego to win. What's the spread on that? 6.5? I take Carolina to cover. Carolina to cover, but San Diego to win.
I'm going Los Angeles Chargers as well. I think they cover. I think they cover this one at home. I think they're going to look at that beautiful stadium being the Panthers and be out of their mind. They're in front of $5 billion, and there's only been a couple games played on that turf, and Herbert looks good. He looks good at the quarterback position. It's unfortunate that Tyrod Taylor had his lung punctured by their trainer. Like unreal. Unreal that happened to him. So we'll see, and I hope you get well and get back in the game shape as well.
I had a question. Yeah, did anyone ever ask, did they either fire that trainer or did they give him a raise for helping out the Chargers?
I don't know, but I feel like that just like you said, I feel like that's a good mistake, because I was questioning, like, why are you guys really trying to start Tyrod Taylor, and he's been passed around the league already? Like, let him be the backup and let Herbert get his starts in. Like, you guys went high to select him, and he has everything. He has a big arm. He's tall, and he's scrambled, and he's gutsy. Like, there's no way I'm going with Tyrod Taylor, but just like I feel like you. I feel just like you, so I don't know. If he got a raise, if he got fired, I don't know, but that's crazy, and I agree with you. You're bad. California, I tell you. Okay, so Sports City, I have not done this all year, but I feel like the time is now. Is there anybody in the kitchen that thinks the Broncos could protect their house up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? The Bucs are favored in Denver by 6. Anybody?
Wait, you didn't do that for the Jets and the Colts?
I should have. But Rivers has been playing funny. So you don't know what you're going to get there. But here, I don't know how you guys feel about this. Is there anybody that feels the Broncos can do it?
No.
No way.
Can't
play
easy.
Crickets.
We can just move off that game.
Yeah, I'm passing that cricket loop around here. Please get your bowls ready. Get your spoon out. I don't know if Brady goes crazy, but I think the Bucs take care of business, get 2-1 in the start of the season. It hurts me right here in Sports City. I'm going to go first. I'm going to say it. I think the Cardinals take care of business. They continue to be 3-0 on the season up against the Lions. I feel bad in doing this because I don't know what Stafford I'm going to get. I don't know what scheme Patricia's up to. I looked at the pass rush numbers, and I almost, like, lost my mind, almost cried. Like, everybody in the league is above 30 with pass rush percentage. The Lions are at 19% for pass rush. Like, yes, they get their stops. They get a couple of 3-and-outs, but it's like, what – defensive rocket scientist is this guy that he's a rocket scientist. This is what you're telling me, and I have not seen this since he's been here. It's unreal that the leash that they're giving Matt Patricia, him and Dan Quinn, I question a lot of what's going on between you two and Matthew Stafford. And oh yes, this is for you, Norm. I am going Cardinals because of Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins. I don't know how they slow this down with all of the questions that's on the defensive side of the ball. He's 2-0 right now, being Kyler Murray. I don't know how you feel about that. I'm going to let you go last. James, who do you like in this matchup? Lions going into Arizona up against the Cardinals.
Yeah, I mean, right now Detroit is looking awful. And this was a team I was really excited for at the beginning of the season. You looked at the team on paper. Hey, this Romeo Okwara, you know, really did a much better job than he was slotted to last season with his sack numbers and his pressure numbers. And then they reworked things in the secondary to make it more, you know, more of a full cohesive unit. You don't have Big Clay Slay, but you have, you know, a couple of other pieces that are reasonably strong, and it's just fallen apart. The entire team has fallen apart. This is the first game back with Kenny Golladay. Hopefully that helps, but he is still not 100%. I'm taking the Cardinals, and I don't know what the spread is, but I'm going to take them to cover two.
Oh, the spread is the Cardinals are favored by 5.5.
I'll take that spread. I'll take the Cardinals and to cover.
Norm, your turn. The Lions or your Cardinals?
Well, I'll tell you this. Kyler Murray has looked really good. I give credit where credit's due. I still need to see more, though. But, no, I like Arizona to win this game. I don't like using lines against the Lions. For some reason, the game will be over, and they like to dump in points last minute. So no money on this game for me, but I do like Arizona to win. And to be honest with you, there's only one problem Arizona has right now, and it's their coach. Did you see him after their last win talking to the team? He's wearing fucking yoga pants. How can you play for a coach who wears yoga pants? I don't understand. They need to get rid of Kingsbury.
He's 2-0 right now. He's just fine. And if you look at the pad that he bought down there in Arizona, he ain't going nowhere. I wouldn't leave if they did fire him. I forget whose house it was, but his house was insane. Oh, and by the way, I just got word that Julio Jones is out of the game for the Falcons. So, but I'm still going Falcons anyway. Just got that. The last and final game of the 4 o'clock are the game of the week. I got to give it its credit. The Dallas Cowboys going into Seattle up against the Seahawks. The Seahawks are favored by 5 at home. This is a funny spread. So, Vegas, you are up to something. I'm going Seattle. I don't like that spread, especially where the Cowboys just won last week. I'm going Seattle. I don't think they cover the 5, but I think they win. I think the Cowboys will keep this close. It'll be an unfortunate win for the Seahawks, but I think the Cowboys will make this interesting. But, I think this could be an old-fashioned shootout. That over-under is at 56.5. It's threatened. I think they go over with this one. But I'm going Seahawks for now. I don't think they cover. Norm, I'm coming to you. Cowboys, Seahawks in Seattle. The Seahawks are favored by 5 up against the Cowboys.
Yeah, I like Seattle. And I don't really like the spread, but I do think that they will cover that spread. Everyone's just still waiting for the Cowboys to all of a sudden break out or do something special. And when are we going to accept the fact that it's just not there? You know, I'm not that I'm not a Dak fan. I know the Cowboys have a ton of talent, but Seattle's just a better team. And I wouldn't bet this game with the spread of 5.5, but the Seattle's going to win and they will cover.
James, Cowboys or Seahawks in the state of Washington, and the Hawks are favored by 5.
I will also take the Seahawks to win and to cover. The Cowboys' defense is non-existent. They've got a really good pass rush up front, and that's about it. So I think they're going to let Russ cook, and Russ is going to have a field day cooking all over that. So I'm taking Seattle.
I want to spice this up. Does Russ throw for over 350 yards? Norm, I'll go first to you.
Yes, he does.
James, you.
350. No, I think 350 total yards, but not 350 passing yards.
Fair enough. That's a fair number, too. I like that. Okay, the game of the night, though. That's the game of the week, the Cowboys and the Seahawks. The game of the night, Packers-Saints in the Superdome. It is gun versus gun. And Rodgers at 2-0. Up against Drew Brees at 1-1. The Saints are favored by 3. This is, to me, that's a pick 'em. That three is not comfortable. This is tough, boy. This is tough. I'm going with the Saints at home. I think that they slow down the Packers. But I don't want to say slow down. I think they beat the Packers. I think the Packers probably end up letting the Saints have the ball last. If the Saints come out the gate 1-2, clear cut, already letting you know what's going on with Brady and them boys down there at Tampa Bay. So I'm going to Saints to try to keep pace with Brady as best as possible. Norm, I'll come to you, Packers Saints, for the Sunday night matchup. And the Saints are favored by 3.
Yeah, I look forward to this game. It should be good. It can go either way. And on games like this, I always take the home team. So home team to win, but it can go either way. Should be a good game.
Okay. James, who do you like in this matchup? Saints or Packers at Saints, and the Saints are favored by 3.
See, my gut says Saints because of all the talk that everybody's had over the past week of, oh, Drew Brees is done. I have a feeling that that's just talk and that people don't know what they're talking about. But at the same time, my brain says that that the Packers are a better team and the Packers will get the win. So I'm going to take the Packers. I don't think they cover. It's a 3-point spread, but I think the Packers win, but not
no. The Packers are getting 3 points.
Oh, well then I'll take them as a hard bet. I'll take the Packers as a win, pick 'em win.
There you have it. Okay. So this is what Norm is here. And believe me,
that's right.
I'm glad he's here for this one because my popcorn will be chilling waiting for me on this one. The rematch of the matchup last year, but it took place in Missouri. They are now going to Maryland. The Super Bowl defending champs, Kansas City Chiefs, up against the MVP of the league last year, Lamar Jackson, and the Baltimore Ravens. And that defense somehow just got better. Like, I don't know. like I'm scared. The Ravens are favored by 3.5. This is a pick. Forget the spread. I don't even care. Oh, my goodness. If I got a pick, I'm going Ravens, though. I really am going Ravens this year on this one. But I would not be surprised if the Chiefs put that offense to work and went crazy because, you know, it's a track meet every time Mahomes say, like, everybody's running 4-3s. Everybody is a 4-3 waiting to happen. Like that's disgusting. Like, I don't even feel like that's fair. So I'm going Ravens, but this the over-under is at 54.5. Doomsday for that over-under. I think that's an over unless somehow some way defense is played, or at least on the Chiefs side of the ball. James, who do you like in this matchup?
I'm also taking the Ravens. I think it's just the matchup. And this is a huge game. This is potentially, like, the number one seed is a lot bigger now than it was a year ago. Because second seed still got the bye. But now, this could determine first seed. Week 3 could determine first seed in the AFC. And these are the two best teams in the AFC, period. But I'm still taking the Ravens. I think the matchup is better for the Ravens. They beat the Chiefs better than the Chiefs beat the Ravens. But in other games, Kansas City's probably the better team.
Okay, Norm, you're last on this one. Your boys come to Maryland. Who do you like and why?
Got to go with KC, baby. But this is going to be a really, really good game. The things to look out for here. Last year when Kansas City played the Ravens in week 2, the census was out that KC had no secondary. So I saw Lamar Jackson go deep, I want to say, on 4 or 5 different occasions rather than use his legs. And I think if I was worried to play them in the playoffs because I figured they would probably let Lamar Jackson run loose, do some more option plays and get him open. I don't know if the Chiefs can contain Lamar Jackson's legs. That's the part that scares me. And if Baltimore goes in with that game plan to let him loose, it's going to be a long night. I do feel, however, Kansas City is going to make the adjustments from last week where they couldn't get their passing attack going. Reports were Mahomes was dropping back too far in the pocket, allowing the edge rushers to get around the tackles a lot easier. We'll see if there's an adjustment there. I don't think Baltimore has the same front four that the Chargers did. They still have a very good front four, but I don't think they're going to apply as much pressure, giving Mahomes a little more time, which means the offense is going to open up a little bit. So should be a great game. And I will put all my winnings, if I have any, from today's games on the Chiefs with the money line.
Wow, he's confident. Okay. We will see. Hopefully they get back in action too, so I can come back for them. If not, they know what to do to get right back in the kitchen and get a plate. I need plugs and closeouts from the both of you on a complete show here at the brunch. I'll start with you first, James. Give me a plug, closeout, shout out, anything that you'd like to promote as we shut the doors here at the brunch.
It's always fun. This is a lot harder slate of games to pick than last week. Can't wait till next week. See you guys then.
All right, and Norm, thank you for coming through here. Plug, closeout, shout out, anything that you'd like to promote as we get up out of the building here at the brunch.
No, look forward to the games this week. Life's getting back to normal. We're into week 3 of the NFL, and we got our Thursday night games. We got our Monday night games. It's what America needed, football. So looking forward to the weekend.
Yeah, you be safe out there, man. I'm hearing a lot about the air quality out there, so you be good out there. Poor city, man, I'm at the edge of my seat with a lot of these games. I'm hoping things that take place here, at least out there in the West Coast in Arizona, goes a different way, but I don't know. Patricia may still be on a cool seat. I don't know how they see it differently. But on that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the Chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.